today, driving all the way up from Ohio, is Nancy, who is the Juicy Tanglers band manager. And that song, that band went on. Actually, one of the members lives far away, so she couldn't stay with the band. But that band stuck together, and they are actually an amazing band called Bluebird. And you can find them on the web at Bluebird the Band. And they're, I think, 13 now, the two of them. And we had them play at a concert, a benefit concert of ours, and they opened the set with a cover of The Clash's Know Your Rights. It was pretty mind-blowing. And then also Amelia has continued to play. She formed a band with her best friend, Bella, and they called it, first it was called Wanted, then it was called King, and they are pretty incredible as well. More of the kind of stuff you saw up there, although a little bit more in sync with each other. Yeah, over here. This was the first, the one that we focused on was in Portland, Oregon, and it was the first one in the U.S. And there's a couple other in other cities. There's like a sister camp that has opened in New York, and then one just recently, I don't remember where that one was. It's like
Chicago.
Yeah. But we're hoping with the release of the movie to have a camp in every city in North America. If anybody here is inspired to do so, if there are musicians here, I know there's a woman who's planning on doing something like this, who contacted us, who actually is coming. I think she might be here. Is Shannon Mitchell this room? Are you still here?
Yeah,
Shannon back there is, and maybe she can hang out in the lobby if there's anybody who wants to join in with her. I know she's going to do something in Toronto, and there is an organization that the Rock Camp started called the Girls Rock Camp Alliance, and it's girlsrockcampalliance.org, and they've got all these different camps sort of working together, so.
How about Mom's Rock? Mom's Rock Camp!
Yeah, actually, it's funny you should say that. There is, at the Portland Rock and Roll Camp for Girls, there's a fundraiser that happens every year called Ladies Rock Camp. You don't have to be a mom to join, but you can be over 18 years old. And it's just as dramatic, it's just as exciting. Games break up in the middle of the week. A wonderful time.
Right. Ladies is meant in sort of general terms, lady like or anything.
Do you know somebody interested in this?
I know they get a lot of funding from a lot of nonprofits. All of the people that work there, it's all volunteer. And I know that because I've seen the sponsors, they've got some musicians who have been quite generous, and they work with foundations. But they definitely want to support people who need financial backing for it. I mean, there's a whole range. There's scholarships available. And there are kids from the Portland area, but certainly these people end up coming from quite a distance.
They don't turn anyone away, so that's part of the reason the camp is always on the verge of bankruptcy, and actually recently has gotten themselves in the black, which is really awesome. They sort of reorganized and did some great things, but they don't choose people based on them being able to pay, and the fee is actually only $300 for a week anyway, so they estimate it probably costs about $1,500 a student for them to come. So.
And the summer that we shot, 2005, I think half the girls were on full scholarship.
How did you find out about the camp and how did you come up with the idea?
How did you find out about the camp, how did you come up with the idea? Well, I actually am a huge fan of a lot of the music that came out of sort of Olympia, the kind of Riot Girl movement, although it wasn't all called Riot Girl, but there was a sort of great generation of music. And one of those bands was Cedar Tini, who I'm a really big fan of. I've seen them a lot of times. And I went to an event that Terry Brownstein, who's in the movie as well, was at. She's a member of Cedar Tini. And somebody in the audience sort of asked her, like, don't you feel like rock and roll's dead? There's no future of rock and roll. And she's court carrying, sort of like, had this look like, I'm playing music right now. But she sort of paused and took a breath. And then she went into this speech about the camp. And she had just come back from teaching at the rock camp. And she gave this speech about how inspiring it was and how these girls were making the most edgy, like, experimental music she'd ever seen in her life, and these girls were transforming, and I mean, literally, the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up, and I called Shane immediately. We both grew up in Oregon, and so we sort of knew about kind of the community that was, you know, the sort of alternative feminist rock scene, and we really just had an instinct that there was a story there. And I think a lot of what you see in the movie developed from what the girls told us. You know, I mean, we sort of knew there was something interesting there, but it wasn't like we went in going, we're gonna make this movie about, you know, girls struggling with these issues. I think we sort of sensed that was there. But the idea for the film was really like indie rock goddesses, 8-year-old girls, guitars, Portland. You're like, something's happening.
Yeah,
I
was sorry behind her. You were sorry behind that outstanding animation to the whole thing.
Yeah, we knew as soon as all these girls were sharing their stories with us, and we realized that it was about a lot more than guitars and rock stars and girls. We knew that we had the sort of the culture was a major character in the movie, and so we talked a lot about how to portray that, and we decided to have these sort of cutaway animation sequences. And then actually, just by luck, a woman approached us in Portland who she wanted to be in this film, right? The other city. Yeah, in San Francisco. And she actually wanted to edit the film, but it turned out when she showed us her demo reel that she had this amazing animation on it. So we started talking with her and collaborating with her. And, you know, we sort of threw a couple ideas her way, and she came back with these just incredible animations for us. So we can take very little credit for her.
We really emphasized with her and spent a lot of time talking to her after and showing her what we were working on with the film. And it was really important to us that it be her piece and not be, that we, you know, sort of gave her an idea for each one, like this one's gonna be about body image and this is about girls in music videos. And she went within herself. I mean, she really told us it was a pretty wrenching experience to do them. And that was, not that we wanted it to be wrenching, but that was what we were looking for, was for someone not to just be like, does this look cool? Does this look cool? That was really great. And her name is Liz Canning, by the way. She's an incredible animator, and if you have need of animation, she's awesome. Yeah, in the back, in the middle.
How much fun was it working there, and how much fun was it making the film?
I'm sorry, what was the last part? Being what?
Making the film.
Oh, making the film.
The question was, how much fun was it working there at the camp, and how much fun was it making the film? The camp was an incredible, mind-blowing experience that changed my life. I don't know if fun would be the first word that comes to mind when I think about it. It was incredibly loud, incredibly hot, and incredibly chaotic. It was absolutely the most chaotic environment I've ever been in. So I was just struggling to sort of maintain my sanity most of the time I was there. But then in the year and a half of editing the film afterwards, and digesting it all and seeing the incredible stuff that these girls did, I just couldn't be the same person afterwards, after like witnessing their courage and their courage. I just they forever changed me.
I'll add to that the fun thing. Actually, eventually it was incredibly fun. At the camp, it was more emotional. I think both Shane and I, we have a system amongst all the people we're shooting. There are four of us, these two amazing women, and Shane and I. And we have this cry break signal that we would do on our walkie-talkies. We had to like watch something happen where we needed to walk away. And a lot of those happened in Nancy's band, actually. So we weren't able to show all of it, but Nancy may be able to speak to how fun it was being a counselor at the camp.
Well, I kind of went as a research project because I was writing a book about a young adult novel about kids and music, and I didn't know much about music. And I'll tell you, they're so inspiring. I went in 2004, the year before the filmmakers were there. And it was volunteer, so I paid my way to go there, and I volunteered, and I had to stay, I could find a place to stay to be there, and it was worth every bit of it, because they showed you four stories. But when I looked at the posters in front of them, I said, oh, is that one of yours? Is that one of yours? And I said, they're all mine. Because the camp is small enough, and for those four represented the other 250 stories that are all pretty remarkable. And to tell you how inspiring they are, I went there as a 3-month-old bass player. I decided, I'll try this. And I've got a band now. And they're incredibly inspiring, so it's absolutely fun. It's absolutely exhausting. The camp band manager job is a little bit negotiator, a little bit mom, a little bit big sister, and a little bit just cheerleader. And it was a blast. And guess where I'm heading this summer? Back to Portland.
Yeah. We would be heading back to camp too if they would let us. That part we're still in agreement with.
I just have time for one last question, I'm afraid.
There's something here outside. Was it pretty early on, 4 or 5 girls, you wanted to vote? Or did you shoot like really close to like 20 girls and then figure out the inspiration was out? It's funny because that's actually really close to what happened. Do you work for us? Because we actually kind of near had 20 girls. That we went out and visited all across the country, Omaha, Boise, Rhode Island, Oklahoma, obviously Florida, and a lot of girls around Portland. And it was really important to us when we got to the camp. We noticed there was this band, The Ready, which you saw at the very end singing that like I Try song, and they actually did a couple of the other songs, and they're all 10 to 12 years old. And we saw them, and it was a really powerful experience. And they were just so liberated on stage, and we thought, God, all these girls up here are amazing. And then we interviewed counselors and their parents and found out that until they hit rock camp, they were all really nervous, withdrawn, you know, in general, were just sort of had stayed within themselves. And so we knew that we needed to meet these girls before the camp. And so we went around and visited these girls, and we sort of had a sense that we were trying to choose girls, but really, after the first couple of trips, it really became a learning experience. So, I mean, the girls were really teaching us, and they taught us a lot. And in fact, that's why we have them listed at the end as writers, because we, you know, really didn't understand what was going on until we met them. So what Nancy said is really true. I mean, they were really just the girls that circumstances sort of convened in different ways to make them be the focus. We happened to walk into a band fight where some things were coming up that we thought were important to show. We saw Nancy doing this amazing job of managing a really difficult situation, and so things started to kind of shape out of there. It wasn't like we were looking for, you know, the girl who's the craziest or, you know, the youngest, cutest girl. In fact, Palace was somebody we hadn't met, and we ran into her. I was actually going to shoot somewhere else, and she was in that scene you see at the beginning that actually went on a long time where she was wouldn't sing into the microphone, and I was like, okay, before I go shoot this other girl, I'm just gonna get some good shots of the girl nervous and shy and unable to sing into the microphone. So I had that like moment where she's like, you know, I don't want to and whatever, and then, you know, I'm ready to rock! I better stay here for a little while. So that, you know, it was just a lot of different things that happened. And we, you know, we try to just emphasize every time that, you know, all of the girls, all of the stories of the camp are really condensed into this. I mean, we wouldn't have known how to make this without them.
Don't forget to vote.
Oh, and one last thing I want to say too is there's two amazing films playing at the festival also. I mean, I'm sure there's lots, but we just saw a couple films today called Thin Ice and The Fighting Cholitas, which are one about female lucha libre wrestlers in Bolivia, and the other is about an all-girls hockey team that's trying to form in the Himalayas. And I mean, it's just, all these three films should be playing together. I mean, if you felt, you know, powerfully about this, you gotta make it to that film. Oh, and our website. Girl, you should check out our website too, especially if there are girls here in the audience who wanna say something to the world. Our site is girlsrockmovie.com, and it's a group blog that's written by girls and women from the camp, and we interject occasionally stuff about what's happening with the movie, but it's really sort of meant to be a collective forum for people to talk about things that come up. So be sure and go there if you want to continue talking.
It's not just a movie, it's a movement.